head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariat, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
Here we are again on the Rusty Satellite Show, coming to you today from the Rusty Satellite Studios, I suppose, in my office in my home. It's very good to be with you and to be bringing you two of the most interesting people in the Ville once again for the 190th week in a row. This is a really great show. I'm anxious to get into it with you. First of all, I want to tell you about my friends at the doctors of the Eye Care Institute. They have a special event coming up on February 28th. It's a seminar for people with the scratchy, burning, irritated, and itchy eyes. If you want to participate, you can go down to the seminar on Story Avenue. You can call them at 502-589-1500 to reserve your spot. You get a chance to talk to doctors about this problem and talk about different treatment options, home remedies, in-office procedures, and you might even be able to participate in a clinical trial with the Eye Care Institute. Thanks so much to the folks down there for being part of the show. And also to my friends at Passport Health Plan, who, as you know, I write a piece in Insider Louisville every month or so. And there's a new one up today. It's about finding a medical home. So if you're having a problem like me, finding a doctor, finding a family doctor, primary care physicians, it's very important to have one. I basically, I've been telling a story. I got fired by mine. He's a great guy. Don't want to say anything bad about Dr. Greg Siliberti. I was with him for several years, but he changed his practice in a way that I couldn't participate anymore. So I took advantage of doing this story and spoke to Dr. Eli Pendleton down at the University of Louisville Physicians, and he gave me some good advice on finding a medical home. You can read that story on Insider Louisville anytime you like. All right, so who's on the show this week? It's really great. There's a lot going on, and I can feel spring. The sun is shining, and unusually warm weather, and I think spring fever has come early. In the second part of the show, I'm going to have Zach Fry on the show. He is a real estate agent. I went and met with him at his office in the Caden Tower. But more importantly, for the purpose of this show, he is the originator and organizer of something called the Gravy Cup, which the fifth annual version takes place on Saturday at Melwood Arts Center. And it sounds like a great event. I'm going to have to go. I think it's only $15 to get in, and you can sample up to 40 versions of biscuits and gravy from some of the great chefs we have in this town. So the money goes to a charity, Boys and Girls Haven, and you'll hear all about the Gravy Cup and Zach's role in it. Interesting story about how it came to be in the second part of the show. But first up, we're going to talk with Mike and Medora Safai, and it was a really great opportunity that I had to talk to them. They have bought this giant building, 61,000 square feet, in Shelby Park. And if you know the name Safai, you know that there's a Safai coffee shop in the Highlands, but they also make literally millions of pounds, roast millions of pounds of coffee per year. And they needed a larger operation. They were in LaGrange. They found this building, former Axton Candy and Tobacco Shop in Shelby Park. And the story of what they have planned for there is really amazing. Now, if you don't know where that is, it's bound by sort of Germantown on one side, the University of Louisville campus on the other side. North is downtown. And it's just this little pocket of the city where there's really not much commercial activity. Well, that may be all about to change because the Safai's plan. Here's the list. They plan a brewery. They plan a bourbon making operation. They plan a farmer's market. A bakery is moving in, and they want to put a restaurant in there. So all in this one building is right there at Logan and Shelby. So not much to check out right now, but very soon there's going to be a lot of things going on there. And I have brought you this amazing couple. Mike is a native of Iran. And talk to him a little bit about immigration. And you know, he is a great example of a success story. His entire family from Iran, immigrated to the U.S. and they're all successful. Mike was a aeronautics engineer for UPS, but he started a coffee shop, and he's one of these guys that just always has ideas. I think you'll be very interested in hearing the interview I have with him and his wife, Medora. So stay tuned for that. I'll be back with some news and stuff that I want to talk about, and then we'll get on with the show. But right now, here's my interview down in Shelby Park with Mike and Medora Safai.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
And I am today in a lovely old building in Shelby Park, or is it Smoketown, Mike?
Shelby Park.
Shelby, yes. Park. This is Mike Safai and his wife, Medora. They're business partners and married, and you have just taken on this giant, giant building down here. No, tell me about it.
Well, you know, we moved to, you know, our facility was in LaGrange, and we had 10,000 square foot. And, you know, we keep growing out of it, you know, out of a spot. First, we started roasting in our Frankfurt Avenue store, and then we were looking for something bigger. And, you know, my partners and us looked out, and we find a 1,500 square foot building on Barrett Avenue. And they told me, is this good enough for you? I was like, I would never grow out of this thing. So 6 months later, we were out of room. Then we bought a 5,000 square foot building in LaGrange. We moved over there. And then because I was like, man, this is forever, right? A year later, we were out of room again. Then we added another building right next to it for another 5,000. Then we ran out of room again. So finally, I was like, okay, that's it. We wanted to move back to Louisville. You know, that was one of the things. We started here. We were, you know, one of the original roasters in Louisville, started in 1998. Was it 98, right? Mm-hmm. Yep, it was 1998. And so when we left here, we pretty much got out of the radar, you know. So uh-huh. We came back here and...
You moved the business to LaGrange.
Yeah, we moved to LaGrange. Okay. And then pretty much, you know, so we came back here because we want to move to Louisville. We live in here. And also... One of the things is this neighborhood. You know, I kind of love this neighborhood, you know, because I think we're just is this the center of everything and has a lot of potential. And we were lucky enough to find this building, and we were looking to get a couple of certification. They call the ABA certification, American Baker certification. And a lot of that has to do with the building facility, how clean it is and mm-hmm. how good it is. So this was perfect. I mean, it was just like somebody made this for us.
Yeah. And we looked for 2 years. Before
2 years, yeah.
And this, listeners, is Medora Safai, who is here with us. You all, that kind of growth, you must have somebody who's really good in sales.
Our coffee actually is really good.
Okay.
Yeah, we pretty much, to be honest with you, everybody thinks we have a big sales force. We don't. We have one guy that... works locally here, and then there's another guy
and
that
he does a great job.
He does a great job locally, but then when he gets to out of town, it's pretty much it's me and another guy named Gordon Shirley. He's our marketing
okay.
and sales guy, but it's us. I mean, we don't have a sales team. It's me and Gordon that we.
And that's really amazing because you were telling me, like for example, as an example, Marriott's, I guess, throughout the country or the
Marriott
world.
Vacation Club, yes.
Mm-hmm. They're a big customer of yours.
Yeah, they're every Marriott Vacation Club in the country uses our coffee.
Wow, so, that's a lot coming out here.
And international. So,
I was reading something about the volume of the you get like two trucks go out here every day, right?
Yeah, we do have. We roast about close to almost 1 million pounds a year worth of coffee, and package it and distribute it. And when I say 1 million pounds sounds like a lot, but packaging it is a lot because don't forget we pack these things for a cup at a time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like 1 pound of coffee, it requires almost 100 packages.
Wow.
You know? So the amazing part is not how much coffee we roast, is how much we pack, you know. I think we serve about 70 million cups of coffee equals to almost 60 to 70.
Which it's just amazing that very few, I guess I would say, your name recognition in Louisville is not that high. You have the one coffee shop on Bardstown Road in the Highlands.
Yeah.
I was actually there last week, and I was very complimentary of it. To do that kind of volume out of Louisville, Kentucky, and have not people not know about it, but I think that's going to change. you all have some. I'm interested in this building. Tell me about some of the plans, Medora, for other businesses that you're going to try to attract here.
So when we were looking for a building, we were looking for something around 25,000 square feet. And when we came across this, this is 61,000 square feet.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a lot bigger than what we needed. So, you know, we were just trying to come up with some ideas for some synergy. We love the ideas of people coming in and tasting our coffee, having the ability to talk to them, for them to experiment, just kind of doing a juxtaposition of the of food and drinks and really just kind of delving into all of those wonderful things that can happen with food and drinks. So, one of the things that we are really excited about is we've got some synergy going with a brewery that's going to be moving in. And then we also have some other businesses that will be moving in. We've got one big bakery that'll be here. And we've got a couple of other people that we've got lined up that are looking at this space. Okay. So, we're creating a community within the building, and we've got plenty of space to be able to do that. So, I think one of the other things that we want to do was tours for people, just to have them come in and see, what it is that we do, how we roast our coffee and, package it. And then one really fun thing that we want to do is a farmer's market. So that would be bringing in fresh produce and bringing in fresh, prepared foods, that type of thing.
Sure.
We have the space to be able to do it. We have a space to be able to have do it year-round in potentially permanent space. We love, we go to Seattle quite a bit to visit relatives and friends, and we go to Pike's.
Okay.
And we just love that whole energy of it.
Sure.
And the excitement of, going down and watching crowds. So, yeah.
Well, Mike, you moved your coffee operation here within the last month or so, right?
It's about almost 3-4 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when are we going to be able to come down here and get a beer? That's what I'm excited about.
Well, we're hoping by May.
By May, the brewery will be up and operating. So you've got a brewery, an owner selected. It's just a secret right now.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm a partner with it, but the name of the owners that the investors are kind of, we can't say right now.
Okay, I
understand. But we do have a partnership. I do have, personally, not through Sapphi, separately through that. One of the things is that I like beverage, any kind of a beverage. I like, the reason I got into the coffee business, it was because I loved coffee. And when I moved here, there was no coffee shop. It was one Heine Brothers, and that was the only one. And so, and I paint, these are my paintings. So I wanted to open up a coffee shop that I can paint and have people come in. It was a hobby. Okay, so let's put it this way. It's a hobby. It was supposed to be a hobby. I had a full-time job, good job with UPS, but I had 3-4 days off. I was working weekend, and I wanted to start something. So we got in a coffee, and then I started brewing beer at home. Then I beer. I started making bourbon. Then I have a bourbon now.
Make bourbon too. Okay.
So, yeah. So.
Do you ever sit around and watch TV?
No, that doesn't happen. Actually, the problem was, he had 4 days off at ADD. That's the other essential ingredient in that formulation.
Okay, so the brewery's coming in, so it'll be a retail place for people to come in and
we want to make it a family type of brewery.
Okay.
It's have games for kids and all the other stuff. So families can come over here, sit down, have a drink, have their kids,
Okay. Play. Now, is there a restaurant in the plan as well?
Well, we have a spot in here that we would love to have someone to put a restaurant in there. And we have a 5,700 square foot available. I'm saving that. That my goal is to have somebody come up with a restaurant there. Because I think there's a big potential in this part of town. And of course, you know, with us to have the brewery in here, and then, you know, in 3 years, hopefully the bourbon, you know, is aging right now. So, and the coffee and the farmer's market, our goal is to become an anchor in here, like the mall, you know, anchor. So then we hope that other businesses will start moving down here and build this neighborhood up. And so restaurant, I think, would be another great thing that it could move down here. And the bakery is moving down here, you know, and...
Now, what kind of bakery is coming in?
It's a bakery that has very good stuff.
I guess that's also a secret, right?
Well, the problem is we're in the middle of the signing the lease right now, and I did not ask him. I mean, after this, I can call him.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to know who that is. Yeah. But really, it's unusual because, you know, this area, I guess it's between Germantown and Old Louisville, not really a glamorous part of town. What is it that attracted you to come in here?
Well, you might call it not glamorous, but there's a lot of potential and good people here. And I believe that.
I think that's part of the attraction, that it isn't glamorous. Uh-huh. You know, that it's not high profile, and then just having this nice little community center here. And being able to facilitate that.
I think the people in this neighborhood, I think there are good people in this neighborhood. They need jobs, and they need, jobs. And
there's really not a lot of restaurants or other commerce around here.
I mean, there's nothing in here. And, you know, it's unfortunate because, like you said, we're in the middle of Barstown Road. You're in the middle of, you know, between Barstown Road, Louisville, downtown, and Germantown, and all of those areas are developing except this one little area in here, these four streets. And I think there's a lot of potential in here, and it's just somebody needs to give these people a chance.
Yeah, because I guess the Smoketown, not the Smoketown, but the barbecue restaurant closed.
Yeah, it closed up. Yeah, and exactly. So and I think that they have a great neighborhood association in here. And these guys are very involved with the, you know, with the neighborhood, and that's one of the things that, you know, we're looking forward to working with those guys.
Okay.
And there is not that many people live in this neighborhood. All you need is about 80, 90 jobs. That's it.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Shelby is 3-4 streets. I mean, how many family lives in here? You know, okay. Somebody has got to come in and create the jobs. You know?
Well, we're running out of time here, and I want to get to one last topic because I was very interested. Mm-hmm. You told me about you grew up in Iran and an immigrant.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people say trying to keep immigrants out of our country.
Yeah,
but it's quite a success story of coming to America. Right?
Well, you know, that's one thing I want to say to those people. You know, I have 4 brothers and sisters. We came here, and you know, and even though when we got here, the revolution happened, so we had some hard times in here and stuff. But every one of us are successful. You know, my brother is a nuclear physicist for Boeing. My sister is a physician in Seattle. She's a doctor. This is what I do, and so you know. And I'm going to tell you, it's the reason we succeeded is because the way people treat immigrants in here. You know, they gave us the opportunity to become what we are. You know, it's just, I couldn't do this if I went to someplace else. Only we could do it in America, you know. And so I think that all of these hypes about stopping immigrants and stuff is that this is a melting country. This is America, you know. I mean, you know, we all, one day a year, we all Jewish, one day a year, we all Muslim, one day a year, we all Buddhists, one day a year, we all Christians, and that's what makes America, and I think we just, it's crazy talk, you know, I just hope that, but you know, I took my son, when they had that, Mayor Fisher had that thing down there, you know, on the river, and by Muhammad Ali, and you know, I took my son out, because he's freaking out, you know, he's 12 years old, you know, and he just hears all of these things, you know. And I took him over there, and you know, and he saw 10,000 people, and I said, "This is real America, you know. It's not what you hear on the TV." So.
Well, that's a good message to quit on. Thank you very much, Mike and Medora, for being on the show.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
I tell you, I cannot wait until some of those plans start to come together with the Safis down there in Shelby Park. Should be really, really cool. We got to climb up on top of the roof where he's got a restaurant planned with a rooftop view up there. It's just it's really awesome up there. It's a part of town that very few people get to. So that's what's going on there. So in this part of the show, I usually talk about the news. And as much as I really want to tell you what I think about Mitch McConnell's visit today and all the protest and his attitude and where the country's going with Donald Trump, I've been watching a lot of comedy about Donald Trump, and it's pretty funny, but it's also pretty scary. I think Bill Maher said the other day, it's fun to watch this thing go off the rails till you realize that we're in the car. You know, he's taking the country with us. But I'm sure a lot of you out there think that Donald Trump's great and is doing the right thing, and you know, our country's headed in the right direction. I don't know. We seem really divided on that. Every time you see polls about what's going on, it seems like, you know, as hard as it is for somebody like me to think that, you know, that this could all be good, all the things that are going on in the national news, I got to stop and realize there's a lot of people that think it's a good thing. So anyway, let's put that aside and talk about something more fun. Like, you know, the LouisvilleKY.com, the Pulse of the City, the website that I also operate and run. The top headline there is that Louisville is saying goodbye to its beloved Komodo dragon. You know, so the news out of the zoo, sort of fun. But I've been doing a lot of fun things, and it, you know, it's it must be the spring. All the great events are coming. On Saturday, I went to the Tailspin Ale Fest out of Bowman Field. Did a little beer pouring. The weather was not great. It was windy. It was kind of rainy. Not that cold, but the beer was great. I tried, if you listen to Eat, Drink, Talk, you'll hear about the Pineapple Shandy from Traveler's Beer Company in Vermont that I tried. I thought it was really an unusual taste. It was like pineapple soda, but it was a beer. I guess if you drank enough of them, you could start feeling something. But we, Paul and I were there. We sampled a bunch of beers, and I think I'm slowly, like, converting her from drinking exclusively being a wine drinker to maybe trying some beer, and especially on Monday night. Monday night we went to the Taste of 502, which is a big event put on by a woman-owned business. You might remember a long time ago I had Belinda Gates on the show. She is one of the owners of the company, and they partner with restaurants, some of the greatest restaurants in the city, to offer specials for 2 weeks, starting like today. But to kick that whole thing off, they have an event, one of those taste events, and they had it down at the Sealback Hilton, and it was really great. There was a lot more drink than food. I'll just tell you that there were a lot of drinks to sample. Our good friends at Ballantine were there with their chocolate whiskeys. I know we had some Tito's vodka there, and a couple of different beers on hand, and certainly some bourbon. So there was a lot to sample, and some good food too. So really think it was a successful event, and really fortunate to get the opportunity to go. It was a lot of fun. I wanted to tell you that, there's other things, other big things coming up. I have plans to go Thursday night to Das Meal. Caroline Knopp and Michael Beckman, they've been on this show and talked about this event. It's a German event that benefits Apron, the charity for restaurant workers. It's really good. I tell you, when you talk about restaurants, and I guess my world is sort of filling up with restaurant talk because I do this eatdrinktalk.net website and host this podcast over there with Steve Coombs, our guest this week. It's a really great show this week. Doug Kosman, the Bristol Bar and Grill, can you believe it, is 40 years old. And Steve has an interview with the founder of that, Doug Kosman. And I got to talk with the top local executive at 4th Street Live, which you may know that, you know, 4th Street Live takes a bad rap sometimes from locals for being so focused on national chains and all that. But Ed Hartless is the guy that's in charge. He's doing something to change all that. And he's brought in Ed Lee to operate a restaurant there. And a lot more of attention and focus on local activity. So I encourage you to go over to Eat, Drink, Talk and listen to that podcast. It's right here on this Louisville.am network. Isn't that something? Also wanted to mention this big thing. Have you been downtown lately? I picked up a guy a Lyft ride this morning, and it was a guy that was working on the Omni Hotel project. And I think there's a piece in Business First about how that project has reached its halfway point in terms of going up, and it's already looks like it's as tall as the Marriott next door. And imagine it's got twice as much to go. It's going to be amazing change to the Louisville skyline. And apparently the production schedule, the construction schedule is going off just great. So very anxious to see that Omni. It's amazing also to see the convention center being torn to the ground. If you've been down there, like between 3rd and 4th Street, it is like there's some views you haven't been able to see in a long time. I really don't understand the concept behind the project. I'm going to have a guest on the show from the Visitors Bureau or something and talk about that project, because they're just leveling that building. And certainly it's affecting businesses around there. You know, the convention center is closed. So a lot of the conventions that people are used to having come here aren't coming because the convention center is closed. Now, it's going to be great in 2 years when it opens up again. Last week, we had the Farm and Machinery Show in town. Did you realize that? Did you see any of the farmers? I certainly did in driving. It was a really good event for the city. Really liked it. So, well, let's get on with this major unusual event. First, I want to tell you, we talked a minute ago about bourbon at the thing. Steve Coombs has written two great pieces about bourbon. There's a 710 bottles of old Rip Van Winkle that is set to be released in April. And Steve's got a great story on that. This is like a bottle of bourbon that's going to retail for $1,800. I can't imagine, but there are people who will pay that. And also, he's talking about an event that comes to Louisville next week, the Bourbon Classic, which is everything bourbon. I encourage you to read that story over on eatdrinktalk.net as well. And over there, we also talk, it's all food and drink this week, I guess, because I just can't get over how odd this event, this Gravy Cup event, sounds to me, but it is going to be quite a production. This event has grown so much in the 5 years since Zach Fry founded it. It is it's grown out of two locations. It started the Monkey Wrench. It went to the Vernon Lanes, and it was also at on Barrett Diamonds. But now it is going to be on Saturday at the Melwood Art Center. So, and Zach told me that they could sell 1,000 tickets to this thing. And the lineup of chefs is great. The judges, the music, the entertainment. I'm going to let Zach tell you about it in our interview. But I tell you, you really ought to consider going down and having a whole boatload of biscuits and gravy on Saturday at the Gravy Cup. Okay, so that's going to wrap up this section of the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm going to move on to my interview with Zach Fry, and I'll be back to close the show right after that.
Hey, I'm Dan Vonderhyde.
I'm Stephanie White.
We host a weekly podcast called
40-ish.
It's a show about life at middle age.
I'm not 40 yet.
Well, you're getting there eventually.
I guess.
So each week we talk about something that applies to the life of a middle-aged person. We drop a little bit of wisdom in every episode, and we go out and talk to people about their experiences.
And we laugh.
And we laugh a lot. It comes out every Tuesday. Make sure you download.
Tune in.
And here we are talking today with Zach Fry about the Gravy Cup. Zach, welcome to the show, first of all.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I didn't know about the Gravy Cup, even though it's, what, 5 years old?
Yeah.
Until about a week ago. And it's just a really intriguing idea. Tell me a little bit about it and what's going on with it.
All right, Rick. Well, Gravy Cup is the world's largest, not only, biscuit and gravy cook-off. We have about 40 contestants this year, and I do it to benefit Boys and Girls Haven, where I also serve on the board. Okay. And it's a wonderful event. It'll be Saturday, February 25th from 11 to 2 at the Melwood Arts Center. And, you know, you can come out. We're going to have, like I said, 40 different kinds of biscuit and gravy. We'll have live music by Rick Kiesel and the Derby City Dandies, some really fun kind of ragtime and Dixieland music there. And we'll have mimosas and Bloody Marys and bourbon. Okay. And
make now, how many different kinds of biscuits and gravy can I you think I could sample in 3 hours?
You know,
and walk out of there.
You could get around, you could hypothetically get around to all of them. Most people don't. I mean, if you think of a typical order of biscuits and gravy, you know, two biscuits, you know, maybe 8 bites each, right?
There you go.
Maybe 10. So you get maybe 20 bites of biscuits and gravy from there. So this is double that. So very few people sample 100% of them.
Yeah, I would think so. I think that would be really difficult. It's not the you know, when I think of health foods, it's not what comes to mind first.
No, right? It's not. It's funny how this has become so associated with this event, and it celebrates our regional cuisine. But yeah, I mean, we actually will have some vegan options and some gluten-free options, so it doesn't have to be riddled with guilt.
Yeah, yeah, and big hunks of grease and sausage and all that. But really, what differences are there? I mean, I've not a connoisseur, but you know, I know what biscuits and gravy. I know what to expect when I order them at some place like you know, Cracker Barrel. But how are the how do the recipes differ? What do the chefs do to make their things stand out?
We have really straightforward, just kind of sausage roux gravies, very traditional. Some go really heavy on cracked pepper. We will have some with like rendered duck fat, rabbit sausage, you know, heavy uses of different mushroom varieties, white gravy. We'll have some brown gravy. We've had chocolate gravies.
Oh, no.
And so
no,
there's talking. And one of my favorite places for biscuits and gravy in Louisville, no longer exists, was on Bardstown Road, called Sweet and Savory. Mm-hmm. And they actually put fresh nutmeg in their gravy,
wow,
which gave it a really distinct flavor profile. And I've had gravy made with country bacon, big pieces of cubed bacon. So they just really span the...
Now, I was reading about... And this is a contest, we should make clear.
It's a competition.
It's a competition.
Yeah.
And last year's winner really got me sort of thinking, well, that could really be good. It was Con Huevos, right?
Yeah, they really swept the field.
And it's got some jalapeno in it and
some mole and some tequila.
Oh, wow. That's not what you think of when you think of biscuits.
No,
gravy,
no. Sure.
Well, we were talking last week, and you told me how this thing got started, and I thought it was a really interesting story. It involves New Orleans, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was down in New Orleans with a bunch of friends for New Year's 5 years ago, and I was hungry for some biscuits and gravy, so I opened up Yelp, and I started thinking, you know, what if I could find some kind of really unique, like, Creole style? So I did a little search on Yelp, and I found a place I could... Sadly, couldn't tell you the name of it, but I was just kind of reflecting. As a kid, we had a diesel car, so we had to, there wasn't big nice truck stops like there are now. They were quite commercial by comparison, so we were always going to these truck stops and, you know, eating trucker food and lots of biscuits and gravy. My mom made biscuits and gravy. I was just kind of reflecting on all the different varieties I'd had, like with the nutmeg and cubed bacon, and just so many varieties. And I thought it'd be cool to kind of compare and contrast those. And actually, the day before, I'd gone to a place right by the French Market called the Pepper Palace. And all they sell is hot sauce and mustard. I happen to be a hot sauce and mustard connoisseur as well. And I thought it was really interesting to let you try 100% of their products. So you didn't have to buy something that you wouldn't like, right?
Right.
So that experience, along with the Creole biscuits and gravy, I gave me the idea, and I posed the question to Facebook, and it just kind of blew up. I got hundreds of likes and comments and shares, and 3.5 weeks later, I had the first event.
Wow. Came together really quickly, and that's a great part of the story. The other part is the growth, and I know it started out at the Monkey Ranch.
Mm-hmm. We outgrew that immediately, and then we moved to Vernon Lane's downstairs, outgrew that. Then we spent 2 years at Diamonds and Pub and Billiards in the Highlands on Barrett Avenue in their concert hall and back. We outgrew that, so we're at Melwood Arts Center this year.
Wow. So, first time in a new location.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think you told me you were hoping for maybe 800 people to show up, something like that?
Oh, we printed 1,300 tickets. We expect over 1,000.
Wow.
Yeah, we've had 800 in the past, but we've got 6 billboards up this year. I don't know if you saw those.
I've seen them around town. Yeah,
and just getting some great press.
So yeah, you're getting a lot of FaceTime on TV and stuff, which is great. But another thing you brought in, I won't say they're celebrities, but I saw you've recruited some high profile judges.
Yeah. Yeah, this year we're going to have Michael James Crouch, a very well-known local chef. His Instagram is just on fire. I'm sure you followed him.
Yes.
But he is fantastic. And we have Dallas McGarity returning, who's a James Beard Foundation chef. And in the past, we've had Chef Edward Lee, Oscar Maldonado, Madeline D. So to any local Louisville restaurant foodies, those names should seem quite familiar.
Yeah, so this guy, so it's two judges.
And we have a third judge that's yet to be announced.
Okay,
that'll be unveiled next week.
Okay.
Got to keep a little.
So do they, to judge that, do they have to go around and sample all of them?
Oh, yeah, they sample all of them. No, but we actually have runners take them back to an area that's kind of partitioned off. And
well, that's just a really cool concept. So if anybody wants to go, and the great thing, it's only like $15 to get in, right?
Yeah, $15 for adults, $5 for children 12 and under.
Wow. Well, that's a deal. I've got my Saturday morning planned out, 11 to 2, right?
And you want to get there on the early side, really by about 1:30, the event's really winding down. It's So get there. There's that first 2 hours is really the sweet spot, and you want to get it when the gravy is as fresh as it can be. And towards the end, sometimes people start running out.
How do you really go about recruiting these restaurants? Because some of the restaurants involved don't really have biscuits and gravy on their menu.
It's been a labor of love. I've spent a tremendous amount of time just call them, email them, go stop by, begging and pleading. Some of them are really into it, and sometimes it's just been work in the trenches, just me like asking and kind of having a follow-up system,
right?
Trying to know who I've called, when I talk to them, what I talk to them about, and when I'm going to follow up.
Yeah, well, which is you're applying some of your professional skills. Now, your background, you're a real estate agent, and have been for some time, but you also told me you didn't start out that way. What was it you told me your other career? You were in music.
Yeah, I was a musician for years in New York City and Nashville, and done a fair amount of playing here in Louisville as well.
Okay. And as a real estate professional here, you have a mix of residential, commercial products.
Yeah, I mostly practice in the areas that I live, run, work, and play in. So Highlands, Crescent Hill, Germantown, Clifton, Butchertown, Old Louisville, a little bit out east. But that's where I live, so that's where I specialize.
Well, as you should, and I know you're good at it. You've got you got a great office up here at the Caden Tower where we're speaking, and this charity event is obviously a labor of love for you. How much time do you really spend on it? I mean, you put the first one together in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, getting, we start meeting about 6 months out to get our sponsorship deck together and kind of set some goals and get our team kind of re-energized. We met a little bit less this year just because we've kind of refined some things. Mm-hmm. But the month lead up to the event, I'm spending about 60 to 80% of my time on this.
Okay.
And just reaching out, trying to put the word out, trying to, inviting people, touching base with sponsors, running, go get trophies, go get posters, go get, tickets printed.
Yeah. Is this the first time you've had billboards?
First time we've had billboards, yeah.
That's really a big step. And so, and so the Boys and Girls Haven, that's the charity you've chosen. You've given them a nice check.
Yeah, last year the first year was just for fun. I just did it on my own dollar. I think it cost me about, $1,500 to put on or something. And I just did it for fun. And there was such a great response. I thought I wanted, a couple people that have worked with me in the past, Chad Dobbins and who still works with me, and David Bryce Barber, all just said, we need to try to monetize this and find a good charity to get behind. So I went kind of looking for some charities to support and found a great partner in Boys and Girls Haven because they're right off the waters in there at Bardstown Road and Goldsmith. Mm-hmm. And some great charities in town that have that are older, more established, and have larger endowments. So I wanted to find a place that I could really spend a career with and make a meaningful impact.
Okay. So we're going to have other gravy cups in the future.
Oh, yeah. I hope this be an event that flourishes for many years to come and starts to become something that Louisville is kind of known as having. I was actually down in Nashville, this is 3 years ago, visiting my brother, and he happened to have, the whole family was there, so my father and I had to go get a hotel room, and we were at a Holiday Inn Express, and we went to go through their breakfast line, and these two women were in front of me, and they were dipping up some biscuits and gravy. One of them turns to the other one and says, "Oh, have you heard about the gravy competition in Louisville?" And I thought, I was just started looking for hidden cameras. I thought somebody's playing a gag on me.
Better than that, right?
I said, "Are you putting me on here?" And they said, "No." I said, "I'm the guy who does that." And they, I took a picture with them and posted it, and it was funny.
Well, you do something long enough, people start to remember you and what you did, and it's great you're doing this thing in your in Louisville for a good charity, and God, I'm looking forward to getting some biscuits and gravy.
I'm telling you, there it is. You're really going to get your mind blown because people bring their A game. It's competition level gravy. I mean, it'll be hard for you to, you know, you'll never be able to enjoy anything less after this.
So I guess I will see you down there with a bowl of biscuits and gravy on Saturday at the Melwood Arts Center. Thanks to Zach Fry for being on the show, and to the Safai's family, Mike and Medora, who are taking me on a tour of their new place in Shelby Park. It was really great. All makes up for a wonderful show. I did want to mention one note about bourbon. As you know, I'm a host of the Breakfast of Champions event in Louisville. It occurs on the second Tuesday of odd-numbered month, if you can believe that, at 7:30 in the morning at the University Club. Believe it or not, I'm not going to be able to be there this year because my son Josh is in Denver, Colorado. I'm going out to visit him. He just started a new job at Google, which is really a cool thing. And I'm going out there with Professor John Gilderblum of U of L. Here's what I'm going to miss. And you can go, and I certainly encourage you to go. This might be one of the best Breakfast of Champions of all time because it's a bourbon-oriented event with Michael Veach. He is the foremost authority on bourbon history. He's going to share some insights of the past, present, and future of Kentucky's bourbon industry and give a few tips for enjoying our state's most famous distilled beverage, bourbon. That's coming up March 14th. Put that on your calendar. It's on Facebook, a Facebook page called Breakfast of Champions Louisville, and I've been involved with that for many, many years, and I think this is the first one I'm going to miss in, like, forever. I really can't remember the last time I missed one. We've been doing it for years and years. So, anyway, if you get a chance to go to that, that's certainly something you should consider doing. All right, so that's going to do it for the show. I want to remind you, of course, of all my other projects. LouisvilleKY.com, The Pulse of the City, is available online for your perusal. A lot of great stories being put up there by Jackie Bentley. Thank you, Jackie, for doing all that. And eatdrinktalk.net is the website for the Eat Drink Talk podcast right here on the Louisville.am network with Steve Coombs and I. We do that show every week. And this week we've got, as I mentioned, Ed Hartless and Doug Gossman on that show. It's a lot like this one, I guess. I'm sort of in a pattern of how to do shows. So encourage you to go over there and look at those. I want to thank my sponsors of this show, the Eye Care Institute. Remember, they're having that seminar February 28th. So you can go and learn about the cause of your scratchy, itchy eyes if you want to. And my friends at Passport Health Plan remind you to check out the story on Insider Louisville about finding a medical home that I wrote, and I'm very happy to have that relationship with those people and do that. So that's going to do it for me. I got plenty of stuff to go and do. I'm going to, I'll be Thursday night. I'll be at that Das Meal out in Shelbyville at the Science Hill Inn. There are still tickets available. If you'd like to go, give them a call, sign up. There's a story about that on LouisvilleKY.com. And until next week, when we'll be back with show number 191, Rick Redding for Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
Time.